Necesitan reforzarlo y darle un buen impulso. En Vaughan te lo ponemos fácil. Con nuestros cursos Impact Junior no tendrán que pasarse todo el verano con los libros. En una semana y con un método divertido mejorarán su nivel. Nuestros profesores sacarán lo mejor de ellos en un ambiente divertido y rodeado de amigos. Apúntales ahora antes de que sea demasiado tarde. Llama al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
¿Eres de los que cuando van a nadar dicen swim en vez de swim? Apúntate este verano a los cursos intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Descubre la eficacia de un método que te reta y te sorprende, y con el que sí es posible mejorar tu inglés en poco tiempo. Eso sí, tendrás que esforzarte. Date prisa. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Apúntate a los cursos intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Descubre la eficacia de un método que te reta y te sorprende, y con el que sí es posible mejorar tu inglés en poco tiempo. Eso sí, tendrás que esforzarte. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Aprende, diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.
The Sound of English.
Friday, and this is The Sound of English. Coming up on today's program, we have prompt. Our word of the day is prompt. The expression is to be rolling in it. And we also have our daily listening challenges and also three app questions. All coming up.
Se acerca el final del curso y llega el momento de hacer balance. ¿Qué tal tus hijos con el inglés?
No te preocupes si necesitan reforzarlo y darle un buen impulso. En Vaughan te lo ponemos fácil. Con nuestros cursos Impact Junior no tendrán que pasarse todo el verano con los libros. En una semana y con un método divertido mejorarán su nivel. Nuestros profesores sacarán lo mejor de ellos en un ambiente divertido y rodeado de amigos. Apúntales ahora antes de que sea demasiado tarde. Llama al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
The Sound of English.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Sound of English, and my name is David Waddell. I'll be with you for the next hour, putting you to the test with lots of difficult listening challenges and also some app questions. Of course, this is a show where you, the listener, are the protagonist, because I will be opening my Twitter account, and if you want to participate, you just need to tweet me on I'm David Waddell. First of all, the first app question. I haven't been very creative with the questions today. Basically, they're all choose the correct option. Okay, so the first one, choose the correct option. I'll give you the options. You have to choose the correct one. So, which is the correct option this time? The correct option of the four. Let's see. The first option is A. I drive to work every day. Option B is I go to work driving every day. Option C. I love this music. C is I go to work by car every day. And D is I drive to work every day. Okay.
One is more correct. Well, there are two that are sort of correct, but there's one that's much more common than the others. Okay, and I can see that already 9 people have had a go, and the pie chart is looking extremely green. For example, I can say that 88.89% of you have got it right so far. Brilliant. Okay, so those are your options. Blah, 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 blah. Choose the correct option. I drive to the work every day. B, I go to work driving every day. C, I go to work by car every day. Or D, I drive to work every day. Okay, so there we go. That's the first app question launched. As I said, I haven't been very creative with the questions. Choose the correct option. Because the other two app questions will also be choose the correct option. But I think they'll be challenging for you, I'm sure. Right, so that's the first app question launched. Now, we're going to reveal the answer to the Twitter Responder listening challenge that I gave you on Wednesday. Remember, because yesterday I wasn't here, so you've had 48 hours to think about this one, to download the podcast and to listen to it. It's a challenging one. So here we go. This is our section, Twitter Responder.
Y ahora, el reto en Twitter, a través de @imdavidguadel. Twitter responde.
Okay, now this is the podcast edition I gave you on Wednesday. At the end of Wednesday's programme, I said, is that a love bite? That was very high. Let's do it a little bit lower, shall we? Is that a love bite? Okay, what am I saying? I can tell you that of the people who wrote in, 2 have got it 100% right. I'm going to read out the names and some of the options or some of the examples I was given. For example, the first one to write in was Mercedes. The first person was Mercedes. And she said, she thought I said, is that the last night, or in Spanish, ¿es esa la última noche? Unfortunately, that is not correct, but you've got the first two words right, is that. Okay, so let's look at the next person to write in was Jesus Sanchez, and he wrote in saying, is that the last bite? So, ¿es eso la última mordisco? Algo así. Some of that is right. I'm not going to reveal which part is right yet. Javi, he thought I said, is that your last buy? But then he said, that makes no sense, which it doesn't. Is that your last buy? It wasn't correct, but it was a good try. Then we had Belén González said, is there enough to get by? Hay suficiente para apañarnos. It was tricky, my friend. We'll see if I got it. Did you get it? I will tell you very, very soon. Peter was next. He said, that's enough. Bye. I'm not sure, but I always have a go. No pain, no gain. Absolutely. Sí, señor, Peter. And then we had Lata. She said, well, I'm going to leave Lata to the end because she got it right. And so did Express. Okay, Catalina thought I said, is that the last bite? And she actually translated that, es el último trozo. And she also spelt bite. There is a homophone, of course. B-Y-T-E. Bite. Es el último bite. Me quedé sin datos. Very, very good. It wasn't right, but it was very, very close. Then Mr. Houses, he said, okay, he just literally said, can you repeat that, please? Which is absolutely perfectly acceptable. Because it was a very, very difficult one. So thank you for tweeting that. That is a very valid response to what I said. Can you repeat that, please? Could you repeat that, please? Not a problem at all. Of course I will. And then, last but not least, Smarta, she said, Twitter Responder podcast edition, is that the last... Then she said, bite, mordisco, or wine, vino. And then she said, absolutely correctly, can you repeat it, please? Of course I can, Smarta. It's not a problem. Mr. Houses, Smarta, of course I will repeat that for you. It was, Is that a love bite? Is that a love bite? Okay. So I revealed that the first two words, quite a few of you got right, is that. Is that. But the next part is the difficult part, isn't it? A love bite. A love bite. Now, the word which only two of you got was love. What am I saying? Because it's of course, it looks like it should be pronounced lobe. But it's not. It's love. Una palabra tan sencilla. Love. L-O-V-E. Is that a love? And then the last word, is that a love bite? What on earth am I saying? Is that a love bite? Is that a love bite? Now, what on earth is a love bite? I'm hearing people saying, a love bite. Well, of course, it's un chupetón. That's right. Is that a love bite? Is eso un chupetón? Is that a love bite? In fact, Lata and Express got it absolutely right. Is that a love bite? So well done, Lata. Well done, Express. Now, the question I'm going to ask you now is, love bite, un chupetón, is the word we use in the UK. What is the American equivalent of a love bite? I personally think love bite is much more romantic than the American version. What is it? What is the word they use in the States for un chupetón? In England, in the United Kingdom, and I'm not sure about Ireland, maybe as well, we say a love bite. But what? Danny. Danny's found some lovely sound effects for us. Okay. It's putting me off. Is that a love bite? So what do they say in America? We'll find out soon. Okay, so that was the podcast edition. Now it's time to give you the live edition. So this is the one I'm going to give you now and give you the answer to at the end of the programme. Okay, so but as I said, two people got the podcast edition right, Lata and Express. Is that a love bite? Now it's time for the live edition. So, are you ready for today's listening challenge? Today's live Twitter Responde listening challenge? Yes, are you? Good. Okay, so let's count down from the number six, shall we? Okay, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have you ever been to India? There we go. That was the first hearing of today's live listening challenge, our Twitter Responded live listening challenge. How did you do? Did you get it? If you did, you know what you need to do. You need to tweet me on I'm David Waddell. That is my Twitter address. I'll spell it for you in English. That is at IMDAVIDWADDELL. Okay? It's a long one, isn't it? Never mind. I've already had a couple of people write in with the American version of chupetón. In England, we say love bite. What do they say in the States? Beatriz y Feno have written in. Fantastic. Good stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you another hearing of the live listening challenge. It is, listen again very, very carefully, have you been to India? Okay. Good stuff. So that is our live listening challenge released. And let's see how the app question is going. The app question is going very, very well, I have to say. It's become a little redder in the meantime. Now it's about 64.96% of you. Remember, it's choose the correct option. As I said, there are two correct options, really, but there's one that's more correct than the others. I usually go to the work on foot. That was the second one. My goodness me. Okay, the first app question, I've given you a little a sneak preview of the second one there by accident. But the first one was, I drive to work every day. That's A, option A. Option B, I go to work driving every day. C is I go to work by car every day. Or D, I drive to work every day. Which one is the most natural of those four options, okay? I'll give you the answer to that in a few minutes' time. Now, after the break, I'll give you the word of the day and also the idiom of the day. Now, the word of the day was prompt, if you remember, on Wednesday, and then the idiom of the day was to be rolling in it. But I think we'll do that in a couple minutes' time. So, I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Y no dejes de participar a través de nuestra aplicación. Descárgatela. Hay maneras de empezar el día. Y claro, hay mejores formas de empezar el día. Y es que en las mañanas con Vaughan empiezan con un saludo.
Hello, good morning.
A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas, más radio, más Vaughan, mucho más Richard Vaughan Live.
Menos mal que ha llegado, está fatal.
Tendremos que sacárselo.
You. How are my Charlie name is Charlie. Charlie, are you where from?
¡Sal de ahí! ¡Venga, sal!
¡Sácaselo, por favor!
¡Manifiéstate!
Hi, how are you? My name is Charlie. Where are you from?
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro, adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com. Do you Vaughan?
¿Sabes que puedes tener un profesor Vaughan en tu empresa? Con nuestro programa Inglés in Company creamos planes de formación a medida de cada alumno de cada grupo y nuestros profesores se desplazan a tu empresa en el horario que mejor se adapte a vuestras necesidades. Inglés in Company, el método Vaughan en tu empresa. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 91133-5831 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Todavía no has venido a visitarnos a nuestro nuevo centro en Barcelona? Estamos esperándote en calle Vía Augusta 189. Apunta, calle Vía Augusta 189. Ven a conocer el método Vaughan y llévate de regalo This Book is the Mini Milk. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Welcome back to The Sound of English. I have some answers from people who know what un chupetón is in in American English. You know now that in British English we say a love bite, un mordisco de amor. Qué romántico. But in the States, and I can tell you that Feno and Beatriz have written in with the correct answer. It is the word hickey. Hickey. What's a hickey? I've no idea what a hickey is. Oh, well, I do know what it is literally, but why hickey? That's the question. Why? What is the origin of this word hickey? I don't know. But if anyone does, I'll ask some people around here. There are quite a few Americans around. I'm sure they can give me the history of this word. A hickey is un chupetón. But of course, in British English, we say a love bite. Because that was, of course, the podcast edition of the Twitter Responde Listening Challenge on Wednesday. Is that a love bite? Okay, so let's just give you the answer to the first app question. As I said, two are grammatically correct, I would say, but one is much, much more common than the other one. Okay, so the options I was giving you were, choose the correct option. I should have said choose the more common option, really. I drive to the work every day. That's A. B, I go to work driving every day. C, I go to work by car every day. Or D, I drive to work every day. And the, by far the most common way of expressing the idea of ir en coche cada día al trabajo is to drive to work. I drive to work every day. Now, as I said, I go to work by car every day is not incorrect as such, but it's not very, very common to say that. I drive to work every day is what you would say if you're a normal person. I drive to work every day, or I don't drive to work every day. Okay, now let's launch the second one. I can tell you that, before we go on, 61.49% of you got it right, so not bad at all. Now, the next one is, again, choose the correct option. I gave you a little sneak preview earlier on, a little preview of what it's going to be, by accident, of course. So it's choose the correct option. A, I usually go to the work on foot. Okay, that's the first option. Is that correct? B is I usually walk to work. C is I usually go by foot to work. And D, I usually go to work walking. Okay, so which one is the option that we would use, probably, if we were expressing that idea? Going back to the first app question, of course, there were the first one, I drive to the work every day. Obviously, we don't use the article in this type of expression. I drive to the work? No. I go to work driving, of course, is a literal translation, which sounds very strange. And I go to work by car every day is, as I said, correct, but not as common as I drive to work every day. But of course, the second app question, I usually go to the work on foot. B, I usually walk to work. C, I usually go by foot to work. Or D, I usually go to work walking. Okay, so which one is the correct option? Which is the option we would normally say to express the idea of, yes, yendo al trabajo, andando, I suppose you would say. Okay, so which one is correct? I'll give you the answer to that very, very soon. First of all, the Twitter Responde Live Listening Challenge is going really, really well. Lots and lots of people are having a go. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if you don't get it right. The important thing is to try, to have a go. I'll give you another hearing straight away. It is, listen very, very carefully, today's Twitter Responde Live Listening Challenge is, if you've been to India. Okay, so I can tell you that, if I guess, just go down the list 1 second, I can tell you that Express has had a go. Who else has had a go? Milena has had a go. Virginia has had a go as well. Virginia Palacin, Manuel Feno, Anna, Edita OJ, Peter, and oh, Ben Roberts has just tweeted Hickey. That's right. That's what they say. Belen Gonzalez and Carlos Laith has had a go. So if you want to have a go at today's live listening challenge, all you need to do is tweet me on I'm David Waddell. That is, I'll try to say it in Spanish this time, arroba. Yeah, that's at in English, of course. Arroba. IMDAVIDWADDELL. Okay, that's my Twitter address. So if you want to take part, that's the Twitter address you need to address your tweets to. Okay, so just one more hearing before we go on to the next section of the Twitter Responde Live Listening Challenge. It is, have you been to India? There we go. Right, let's look at the word of the day. Now, the word of the day was, if you remember, prompt, PROMPT. Not too difficult, I wouldn't say. Prompt, let's give you some definitions. The first definition is performed at once or without delay. Very common usage would be a prompt reply, una respuesta, no sé, rápido, also. A quick to act or respond. Was prompt in answering our phone call. They were prompt to deny the allegations I have here. And also, it is a verb. To prompt someone is to cause someone to do some action. That insult prompted him to respond. Another example of the verb, another definition of the verb to prompt, to cause an act as in response. So that insult prompted a strong response. Another one would be to assist a speaker or performer by giving a cue. That's a theatrical reference there. The teacher prompted the student with the next word of the poem. So to prompt someone, the act of prompting as well as a noun, something serving to suggest or remind, or it's even used in computing as well as a symbol or message on a computer screen requesting some more information or indicating that a response or instruction is expected. Okay, a person who prompts is a prompter. And the adjective, or the adverb, should I say, because prompt is normally an adjective, but there is an adverb, promptly. Promptly. So he answered promptly. And another noun, promptness. Okay, so let's think about the translation. The best translation is like a speedy delivery or reply or service. Rápido. So it's not too late, but prompt action is needed. No es demasiado tarde, pero hay que actuar inmediatamente. Or es necesario tomar medidas inmediatas. So a prompt action is needed. Okay, we have a third conditional here. If it hadn't been for her prompt action, we would all have drowned. Si no hubiera sido porque reaccionó con mucha rapidez, nos hubiéramos ahogado todos. That's nice, isn't it? So if it hadn't been for her prompt action, again, the word of the day, prompt, they were prompt to offer their services. So ofrecieron sus servicios inmediatamente o rápidamente. They were prompt to be prompt. Okay, and the company was prompt in its response to these accusations. So la empresa reaccionó inmediatamente ante estos acusaciones. You know the one, yeah. So la empresa reaccionó con prontitud a estas acusaciones. That's the one. And of course, prompt, also puntual. That's another good translation. So rápido or puntual. She is always prompt and efficient. So ella siempre es puntual y eficiente. And please be prompt. That's very, very common to hear that. Please be prompt. Please be on time. Se ruega puntualidad. So there is a discount for prompt payment, it says here as well. So se hace un descuento por prontitud en el pago, it says here. So let's tell you who actually got it right. I can tell you that. Okay, yeah, as an adverb as well, puntualmente. At 2 o'clock, prompt. A las dos en punto. 2 o'clock, prompt. Also, as a transitive verb, empujar. I was prompted by the desire to see justice. And as an intransitive verb, especially in the theatre, as I said, apuntar as well. So, as a transitive verb as well, she had to be prompted 3 times. Tuvieron que apuntarle 3 veces en el teatro, okay? La actriz, or el actor, I suppose. So, apuntar as well. So, who got it right? That's the big question. The first person to write in with the correct answer of the word of the day, prompt, was Juan Ramon. That's right, prompt, done without delay, immediate. Prompt as an action or assisting or encouraging a hesitating speaker. Yeah, somebody should prompt me sometimes. Rápido, pronto, inmediato, aviso, sugerencia as well. Express, prompt, quick or ready to act or respond. Well done, Express. Belén, prompt, rápido, raudo, prompt, apuntar. As well, we have Mr. Houses, Peter, Lata and Catalina. Although Catalina did miss out the second P. But that's okay. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Baugan Radio Madrid 100.4 FM.
Apúntate a los cursos intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Descubre la eficacia de un método que te reta y te sorprende y con el que sí es posible mejorar tu inglés en poco tiempo. Eso sí, tendrás que esforzarte. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Ay, otra vez me ha suspendido el inglés. Este niño, ay, ya no sé lo que hacer. Dice que el inglés del colegio es un rollo, que se aburre y que no le gusta, por lo importante que es el inglés.
¿Sabes lo que le pasa a tu hijo? Que le gusta el inglés, pero todavía no lo sabe.
Este verano van a descubrirlo. Apúntalos a nuestro curso intensivo para niños y jóvenes entre 4 y 17 años, donde pasarán 4 horas al día durante toda una semana haciendo ejercicios divertidísimos. Descúbrele su pasión por el inglés. Infórmate en el 91-133-5832 o en grupoaugan.com.
¿Vas a dejar pasar el verano otra vez sin hacer nada con tu inglés? Vente a Vaughan. Con nuestros Summer Impacts refrescarás tu inglés con los mejores profesores. Este verano, hazte un Summer Impacts, un curso intensivo con clases concentradísimas y muy, muy refrescantes. Summer Impacts. Más información en grupovaughan.com.
¿Eres de los que cuando van a nadar dicen swing en vez de swim? Apúntate este verano a los cursos intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Descubre la eficacia de un método que te reta y te sorprende, y con el que sí es posible mejorar tu inglés en poco tiempo. Eso sí, tendrás que esforzarte. Date prisa. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Escucha. Descubre. Aprende. Esto es Vaughan Radio.
The Sound of English con David Waddell.
Okay, it's time to give you the answer to the second app question. Again, we're looking for the most common way of expressing the idea of andando al trabajo, I suppose. So choose the correct option. A, I usually go to the work on foot. B, I usually walk to work. C, I usually go by foot to work. Or D, I usually go to work walking. So what's the way we normally say that? I will tell you, it is, in fact, B. I usually walk to work. Now, the other three, I usually go to the work on foot. Of course, that's definitely incorrect. We don't use the article there, do we? We don't say, I usually go to the work on foot. I usually go by foot to work. Sounds very unnatural. Not absolutely incorrect, I would say. Grammatically, it's okay, but we wouldn't say that. D, I usually go to work walking. Now, that's a direct translation that no one would ever say. So the most common way of expressing this idea is I usually walk to work. It's the most simple way, really. I usually walk to work. But notice the pronunciation here of the adverb of frequency. Usually. I hear usually a lot, but no, usually. Three syllables, usually. So the correct answer, the most common way of saying it is I usually walk to work. I usually drive to work. I usually walk to work. Okay, the third and final app question. Let's launch that one, shall we? Again, it's choose the correct option. Choose the most common option, I would say, is, okay, let's give you the four options. The first option, option A, is I always catch the bus home. Okay, option B, I always take the bus to home. C, always I catch the bus home. Or D, I always go to home by bus. So which one is correct? Which one is the way we would express that idea? So again, I'll just repeat them one more time. Choose the correct option. A, I always catch the bus home. B, I always take the bus to home. C, always I catch the bus home. Or D, I always go to home by bus. Okay, so those are your options. Okay, the word of the day I'm going to give you for Monday's show, should I say. I almost thought it was Thursday, but it is Friday. So the word of the day is rind. What does that word mean? Have you ever heard it before? Is it a new word for you? Hopefully it is. We'll look at it on Monday. The idiom of the day, I think I read everyone's name out who got the word of the day. Remember, the word of the day was prompt, and we had quite a few people have a go, and most people got it right. Okay, the idiom of the day, to be rolling in it. First of all, what is rolling? Ir rodando, go rolling. Also, you can translate it as the Spanish verb revolcarse as well, can't you? To be rolling in it means to be very, very rich. And in fact, Javi was the first person to write in, and he gave me not one, not two, but three synonyms for to be rolling in it. The first one he gave me was to be filthy rich. The second one he gave me was to be high-heeled. And the next, well, I'd say well-heeled. And the third one, well-to-do. Okay, very, very good. So in Spanish, it would be, I guess, estar forrado de dinero, of course, said Belén, who was the next person to answer. She said to be rolling in it, estar forrado de dinero, of course. And then we had express, to be rolling in it, to be very rich. Very good. And then we have Juan Ramón. He said to be rolling in it, estar forrado. To be rolling in it, es ser extremadamente rico. There we go. And Peter was the next person to be rolling in it, estar forrado. It's better. It's much better without the D. It sounds great, doesn't it? Forrao, forrao. Is it forrado, forrao? Está forrao. Okay, I can't really do that, can I? It has to be you have to be a native to say está forrao convincingly. Okay, the next person on the list was Lata. She said to be rolling in it, to be extremely rich. Forrado, forrada. Nadando en plata. One I've never heard before, but that's a good one. It sounds good to me. And then finally, last but not least, we have Mr. Houses. To be rolling in it, ser muy rico, tener mucho dinero. So there we go. To be rolling in it, the idiom of the day. So literally, it's como revolcándose en el dinero, I suppose. Something like that. Well, so yeah, that was the idiom of the day. Today's is going to be to do something from scratch. So what does that mean? To do something from scratch. What does it mean? We'll look at that wonderful idiom on Monday's show. But now I'm going to give you the answer to the Twitter Responde Live Listening Challenge. The Twitter Responde Live Listening Challenge, if you remember, was... Have you ever been to India? Okay. So, did you get that? I can tell you that quite a few people did. I'll just go down the list and tell you give you a few names. People who have had a go at today's live listening challenge. I'd say the first person was, I would say, Express. Or was it Mr. Houses? Mr. Houses or Express was the first person. Milena has also had a go. Virginia, Manuel, and also Anna with the long number afterwards, not Anna Sobrino. But Anna 2468 2468. Then Edita OJ, she had a go, and Feno, Peter, Belen as well, Carlos, Laith has had a go, and also Paola Dimulescu, she's had a go as well. Beatriz, Mr. Houses, it's fantastic. Maria as well has had a go, Maria Carmen, and Maria Angeles. Juan Ramon Smart has had a go as well. So lots of people on the list. Do you want to hear it again? Okay, here it is again. It is... Fifbintindia. Okay. So there are lots and lots of words in that particular sentence that are joined together. They're sort of welded together. Oh, I've just had a tweet from Javi Lopez as well. He's had a go at today's Twitter Responded Live Listening Challenge. So it is Have you been to India? Okay, now let's give you the answer, shall we? So today's live Twitter Responde listening challenge. Have you ever been to India? Have you ever been to India? So the first part, have you ever, is in fact, have you ever? But listen to how we say it. Have you ever, have you ever? And then the next one, been, would be the weak form of been, of course, been, the verb to be. Have you ever been? And then I'm sort of joining the last two words. First of all, the particular to, and then the country, or really the continent, really, India. Tindia. To India, have you ever been to India? So that was the Twitter Responde live listening challenge. If you've been to India, have you ever been to India? So, has alguna vez estado en la India? Of course, in Spanish you use the article la India, but in English we don't. Have you ever been to India? Not have you ever been to the India. So I can tell you that if I just go down a little bit more, I can tell you that Javi López, have you ever been to India? Perfect. Well done, Javi López. If I go down a little bit further, I can tell you that... that's very interesting. Juan Ramón Gálvez, have you been to India? He missed out the ever. Smarta, on the other hand, have you ever been to India? And she said, better late than never, of course. That was very good. And then, have you ever been to India? From María Ángeles Vidal. Nidiao Niang said, have you been to India? So again, we've missed out that little tiny word ever, alguna vez. María Carmen said, have you been there? So close. And then Beatriz, she said, have you ever been to India? 100% right. Perfect. And Mr. Houses, have you ever been to India? Very, very good. Then Paula, have you ever been to India? Carlos Laiz said, have you thinking it yet? So then we had Belen, have you been to India? Again, we're missing out that tiny word, the ever. Peter also thought I said, have you been to India? Have you ever been to India? You have been to India. Okay, Feno thought I was giving the affirmation instead of the question, but very close. Editha OJ, have you ever been to India? Perfect. And Anna, have you ever been to India? Manuel thought I said, has it been done yet? And then Virginia, have you been to India? Milena also thought I said, have you been to India? Express, I think his first go was without ever. So there we go. Very well done to everyone who had a go at today's challenging, very challenging listening challenge. Have you ever been to India? Have you ever been to India? Okay, I think what I'm going to do now is... I'm going to give you the podcast edition. So this is the podcast edition of the listening challenge. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just say it once only. Yeah. Taking a bit of water, just a little bit of water just before I say it, just in case I lose my voice before. So here is the Twitter Responde podcast edition of the listening challenge. Are you ready? Let's count down from the number 5, shall we? 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Chaff the eggs. Okay, so that is our Twitter Responde podcast listening challenge. I'll give you the answer to that on Monday's show. Did you get it? If you did, then just tweet me on I'm David Waddell. If you didn't, don't worry. Just tweet the message, can you repeat that, please? Or could you repeat that, please? And of course, I will do that on Monday. I'll take a break for a couple of minutes and I'll give you the answer to the third and final app question. And I'll also give you a little bit of music.
really, really useful English words.
Se trata de un libro divertido cuyo propósito es enseñar vocabulario del inglés realmente útil a través de los temas más importantes. En cada página, el lector encontrará extras divertidos, chistes relacionados con el vocabulario, expresiones cotidianas, trucos para mejorar la pronunciación y gramática fácil. Además, el libro destaca los errores comunes vinculados al vocabulario. No se trata de un libro de vocabulario de inglés de toda la vida, sino de un libro que enseña vocabulario de una manera lúdica y divertida. El lector lo pasará tan bien leyéndolo que aprenderá casi sin darse cuenta. Es el libro perfecto para quien le chifla presumir del vocabulario del inglés que conoce. Con este libro, el lector llevará su inglés al siguiente nivel. El libro nace de la exitosa cuenta de Twitter Inglés por Temas.
Really, 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 really useful English words. El nuevo libro de Richard Brown.
A la venta en cualquiera de las tiendas Vaughan o en vaughantienda.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Se acerca el final del curso y llega el momento de hacer balance. ¿Qué tal tus hijos con el inglés?
No te preocupes si necesitan reforzarlo y darle un buen impulso. En Vaughan te lo ponemos fácil. Con nuestros cursos Impact Junior no tendrán que pasarse todo el verano con los libros. En una semana y con un método divertido mejorarán su nivel. Nuestros profesores sacarán lo mejor de ellos en un ambiente divertido y rodeado de amigos. Apúntales ahora antes de que sea demasiado tarde. Llama al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Pues yo este verano me voy a un sitio genial, al lado de la playa y con todo incluido.
Pues yo voy a un sitio en plena naturaleza y con nivel de inglés incluido.
¿Cómo? ¿Nivel de inglés incluido?
Sí, me voy a Vaughan Town, una manera diferente de aprovechar las vacaciones. Una inmersión de 6 días en un entorno 100% angloparlante, en un enclave único. Una manera genial de desconectar de todo y conectar con tu inglés.
Este verano apúntate a Vaughan Town. 6 días de inglés que equivalen a 500 horas de clase. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Este año, antes de irte de vacaciones, hazte un Impact de Vaughan. Un curso intensivo de verdad que te permite mejorar tu inglés en tan solo una semana. Apúntate ahora en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Sound of English con David Waddell.
Welcome back to The Sound of English. It looks like there might be some problems with the app question. Nevertheless, I'll give you the answer that I have to the third and final app question. It was choose the correct option. I always catch the bus home. B, I always take the bus to home. C, always I catch the bus home. Or D, I always go to home by bus. And the correct answer was, in fact, A, I always catch the bus home. Now, if you did choose A and it comes out as wrong, then there's something wrong with the app. But I'm pretty convinced that I always catch the bus home is the correct answer. The others are definitely incorrect. I always take the bus to home. There, that to is definitely unnecessary. We shouldn't be there, really. So I always take the bus to home is definitely incorrect. Of course, C, with the adverb of frequency always at the beginning, that we would never say that. Always I catch the bus home. No, 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 no. I know in Spanish you would say siempre, blah, blah, blah. But in English, always I... No, no, no. It has to go after I. I always catch the bus home would be fantastic. That's A. D, it says I always go to home by bus. Definitely not correct. So, as I said, the correct answer was I always catch the bus home. As I said, if you are having problems with the app, I do apologize. Hopefully we'll be able to sort that out soon. Okay, so we're going to finish today's program with a bit of music. We're going to leave Mozart today. This is, well, we're going to give you just the last little taster of this piece by Mozart. And then next week, we're going to start with another piece of music, a piece of music by Mozart's very, very good friend. Mozart was great friends with another composer. He was a little bit older than Mozart, but he was also a very great composer. That is Joseph Haydn. But we'll look at a piece by Joseph Haydn, another composer I absolutely adore, on Monday. But let's just finish off this piece by Mozart. As I said on Wednesday, the magical moment of this piece is when you think Mozart is going to do something and he does something slightly different. It doesn't sound very interesting, but when you actually hear it, it has a magical effect. Of course, the opening is very, very simple, as I've played it quite a few times now. Now, the second time you hear that, the only thing that changes is the middle voice, because if I play the top voice, the melody and the bass, it's exactly the same. Now, the first time we hear it, the middle voice is just one note, which is held for the entire melody, that entire phrase. Can you still hear it? It's still there. So that's the first time you hear it. Now, the second time you hear it, the middle section is a little bit more complicated. Instead of having that just one note held, you have this. So a little bit more complicated than just that one held note. We have four notes. Doesn't sound very interesting by itself. If we put the bass with it, there we go. So there we have this, the two bottom voices, and of course the melody above it. So very, very similar, but that slight change, instead of the held note, that's the first time. The second time, so these changes are very, very slight, very, very simple changes, but they are effective. Then, of course, the third time we hear it, the harmonies change totally. And we have like a discord, first of all. So this time, the inner voice, the four notes are just a descending movement. And then, of course, the middle part, which is different from the other times. It's just the first note that changes, isn't it? Because it's a little bit higher. So if we put them together, and then with the melody, so we have three hearings of this very simple melody, but they're all different. Of course, the second time, the only thing that changes is the middle voice, and then the last time. So that's the genius of Mozart. It sounds very, very simple. However, there is a lot to it. And to appear that simple, you need a lot of skill. It's what is known as, I suppose, art concealing art, in a way. So to actually make something sound so natural and simple, you require a lot of skill. The second subject, the second section here, is the one which has repeated notes, like repeated chords in the bass. And the melody is much more twisty. But then the last time we hear it, like in the coda, that is changed. So this minor key doesn't come back. So instead we have the same material really, but transformed into... Now, this, I know it sounds a bit strange. It's an ornament, really, because the melodic note is, of course, this one here. But instead of just going... which he could have done, he chooses to slide up to it from the note below. So you get a momentary discord... Now, that's a very 18th century sounding melody, really. That sort of slide up to the note is something that Mozart does a lot. And in fact, Haydn does it as well in his music. We'll be looking at this this piece of Haydn that I've fallen in love with on Monday. It's a beautiful sonata. Not the same as this at all. This is a very, very slow, very sensual piece. But the Haydn we're going to look at is... quite difficult to get your head around, because it's a type of mood where it's not one thing or the other. Here it's obviously a very beautiful melody. It could be sung by a soprano. Could be an aria from an opera. The Haydn will be very, very different. Of course, when we get back to that, the last few bars, we do have like a musical full stop, really. But there are just a few little details towards the end that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, the way that we have the last few bars, we have a scale going up and then going down. For example... So it's quite a long scale. So this is, of course, great, great music. But to be able to play the piano well, you need to know your scales. You need to be able to play... And there's nothing more boring than practicing scales, of course. It's just the most mind-numbing thing. But... if you perfect your scales, then these passages become much easier, because music is full of scales. It's full of arpeggios. So these are exercises make sense. You have to do them, unfortunately. Okay, so I think we'll finish off this piece now. Thank you very much for listening, and have a very, very nice weekend.
Sound of English con David Waddell.